Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But what if salt were to lose its flavor? How could you restore it? It would be fit for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You don't build a city on a hill, then try to hide it, do you? You don't light a lamp, then put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you set it on a stand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before others, so that they may see your good acts and give praise to your Abba God in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Before I begin the sermon, I have to say that I have gotten in this habit every Sunday afternoon of writing a thank you email to the choir because, oh my gosh, thank you, choir. That was amazing, and that was the gospel proclaimed. I could sit down now and it'd be good. Will you pray with me this morning? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our reading from Matthew's gospel today, we join the Sermon on the Mount, which is already in progress. Just prior to this, Jesus has been talking about how different life in the kingdom of God is. We call that section that happened just before today's reading, the Beatitudes or the Blesseds. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus talks about all of these unexpected blessings. And then Jesus continues with what we heard this morning. Two very bold and direct reminders to those who had gathered to hear him and to us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not you are like salt or you are like light. Not you are going to be salt someday if you just try hard enough to get salty. Or when you understand how to be light, then you'll be light. Jesus is clear. You are salt. You are light right now. We are reminded of this at our baptisms when this verse from Matthew is read, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good acts and give glory to God." You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus knew that the people who had gathered to hear him teach on that day needed to know what it meant to follow him, what it meant to be his disciples. They must have wondered, how could they become good enough? Because Jesus knew that those who had gathered in that crowd were the downcast and the meek and the seeking and the mourning. They were not the rich and the famous and the successful and the powerful. They must have wondered, how could we ever do enough? How could we ever be enough? And Jesus tells them, you are enough. You are salt and you are light. The Sermon on the Mount for Matthew's Gospel is one of the most important passages of the whole Gospel. You can just skip the Gospel of Matthew class now because I'm going to tell you how this goes. Jesus says more than one time in Matthew's Gospel what it means to follow him, more than he says it anywhere else. It's something like his keynote address, or if he were a presidential candidate, it would be like his closing statement at the debate. What he believes most strongly his ministry to be about. And in this way, this collection of teachings that is the Sermon on the Mount interprets Jesus' life and vice versa. What he says is what he does, and what he does is what he says. And here at the very beginning of his ministry, after he's called the disciples, he isn't instructing them one-on-one. He's not interested in working with them as individuals, and he never treats them that way. Do you know how we know this? No, I've stumped the seminarians. Because the word that is translated here as you is not you at all. It is that most blessed of Southern words, y'all. It is the plural you, which only a Southern tongue offers us a word for. Y'all are salt. Y'all are light. Jesus is building community. The Sermon on the Mount is not intended for individual ears. It's not intended to grow one person into what they might become. That will happen on its own as they live into life together. The sermon isn't a work ethic. It isn't a how-to guide. It isn't discipleship for dummies. The sermon is a calling together of a people, because no one person can live into what this sermon demands. No one person. And that is precisely the point. The demands of the Sermon on the Mount require that we do this work together, that we rely on one another, and that we are there for one another. In the first reading today, the prophet Isaiah is also addressing a community. It's a community who wants to know, how do they live together as the people of God? Do they fast? Do they offer penance for their sins? What is acceptable to God? And the answer is the practical way of living into being salt and light. God does not mince words, nor does Isaiah. Remove the chains of injustice. Undo the ropes of the oppressed. Specifically, share your bread with the hungry. Shelter the homeless poor. Clothe the naked. And care for your own families. Then your light will shine in the shadows. Then, as God's people together, as God's y'alls, y'all are repairers of broken walls, and y'all are restorers of ruined neighborhoods. The reason that we are salt and light is not to keep these things to ourselves or even within our own communities. We are not called to shine our lights here in the sanctuary and then hide them under a bushel basket as we go out the door. When Jesus looks at the gathered community, he sees, just as Isaiah did, the community as it exists in all of its beautiful brokenness. And Jesus named them in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourning, because y'all are the kingdom of God. There are days when it is hard to muster up our saltiness, when it's hard to let our lights shine, when it's tempting to just hide them under a bushel, yes. Because we can hardly figure out how to crawl out from under that bushel basket ourselves. And those are the days when we need each other to carry the light for us and to be filled with flavor for us, even when we cannot. Those are the days when the community of faith holds us up and moves us forward with them when we could not possibly have done that on our own. The Sermon on the Mount is not a list of do's and don'ts. God is not the line judge at a tennis match, calling it in or out. Jesus describes community that gathers around, and Jesus calls it blessed. So, y'all, you salty and light-filled people, Jesus is telling us, and he was telling those earliest followers, that the community of faith must be a visible sign of light and salt and love and mercy and grace in the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famous German theologian, put it this way: for the followers of Jesus, the only decision possible for them has already been made. Now they have to be what they are, or they are not following Jesus. The followers are the visible community of faith. Their discipleship is a visible act, which separates them from the world, or it is not discipleship. And discipleship is as visible as light in the night, as a mountain in the flatland, or as I like to say, Ohio. To flee into invisibility is to deny the call. Hear that again. To flee into invisibility is to deny the call. Any community of Jesus which wants to be invisible is no longer a community that follows him. Beloved community, we, the community of faith as it gathers here in this place at this time, and as it goes out of this place, we are salt and we are light. And so how will we let our lights shine in the world so that the kingdom of God is made known? Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen.